One of the best prayers you can pray for your own life is, Lord, I ask for consequences. If I go off your path, nail me right away. I mean, softly, nicely, but nail me.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Jesus used illustrations that the people of his day could understand in order to teach them about the kingdom of God. And he likened us to a tree with its branches loaded with fruit. Well, today Pastor Wayne has part two of a message entitled, Preparing
Will You Let Me Make a Major Mistake That Would Impede and Debilitate My Future? Another person whose name is Jonah. Jonah was another prophet, or these people were those that committed their life to God and committed their life to His ways. And when they made that decision, they gave God the permission to intervene if they're going the wrong way, if they're processing it incorrectly, or they're going to make a wrong decision. God is so committed to their future and your future and mine that if I'm going to make a bad decision, we have given Him permission to step in and step in hard and not let me go over the edge. He did that with Jonah. He said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach to him. Jonah didn't want to do it. He was tired of ministry. He said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go to Tarshish. It's easier over there. Got in a boat, and in verse 12 of the first chapter of Jonah, it said, and Jonah rose and fled from the presence of the Lord. That's when his problems began. When he decided to go somewhere, didn't process it. He just headed out another way. You'll see in the Old Testament, it says, and so-and-so did something and did not ask counsel of the Lord. That's when their problems began. They didn't process it. Their hearts weren't pure. They didn't filter it. So Jonah was going to Tarshish, and man, that's when the storm began. I mean, God is so faithful. If you'll give Him the permission, He'll grab you and shake you till He has your attention. He loves you that much that He won't let you do something wrong if you'll give Him permission. Because that's the way that He's going to prepare your life for fruitfulness. And if He's seeing that you're making a decision that will alter your future, He'll step in. So this gnarly storm, I mean, it was not a common storm, took place. Kaboom! Even to the point where the other sailors said, whoa, this is not like a normal storm. This is weird. This is something else. What is going on? Jonah said, it's my fault. I'm fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And the sailor said, you turkey, no way. That's my translation of Jonah. And he said, yeah, yes way. And if you throw me overboard, all of this stuff will stop. Good, they said. They picked him up and threw him overboard. Sploosh. And you know what? Everything calmed back down. Now, of course, he got swallowed by a big old fish. And finally, he complied to God's wishes. But you know, it's like God had to get his attention. It was a man named Jacob, one of the fathers of faith. He had married his wives of Rachel and Leah, had children, and God said, now go back, make things right with your brother Esau. You got problems there in relationships. He went and made it right, and then it was like he was thinking about turning back instead of going into the land of Canaan to go back to where he came from. It was easier maybe back there. And so the Bible says he wrestled all night with God about an issue. We don't know what it is, but I think it was him going the wrong way. God knew that if he made that decision, it would alter his future and ours as well. So an angel meets with him at night and starts nailing him to the point where he dislocates his hip. The next morning, you read about it, Jacob comes limping back into the camp. And you know, I think about, you know, I bet he was going to make a decision that would have altered his future. And the Lord said, in the midst of the processing, you're not going to do it. I'm just too committed to your future. And you've given me permission to step in, and I'm stepping in. Now, I'm glad that the Lord stepped in, even though it was a pretty harsh wrestling match and he needed a hip replacement later. But I tell you, I am glad he did. And I thought, Lord, is it just like Bible stories that you do that, or do you still do that today? He said, I still do that today. If you'll do what they did, and I challenge you to do this. Would you write in number two? These were people that I challenge you to do the same, to make a lifelong commitment to His ways. Make a lifelong commitment to His ways. That's what those prophets did. In other words, they said, Lord, I've got one life to live on this earth. And folks, we do. But you got one life to live on this earth. No use missing it, messing it up. The thing that God wanted you, designed you, created you to be. You don't want to miss it. You just don't want to do that. You got one life on this earth, and you're not going to live it over again. You are right now traveling at 6,600 miles an hour. That's how fast we're going. And the earth is turning on its axis at 23 degrees. But you are whipping through space at 6,600 miles an hour right now. And a few more spins, we'll be done. I mean, look around in the next 40 years, this place will probably be basically empty. Me and the kids will still be here because we're much younger than most of you. But basically, it's going to be empty. We just don't have that much time. And so if you want to shuck and jive and miss the future, I mean, that's like crazy. So these people, as we must, made a lifelong commitment to His ways. And if He is that committed to our future, then I'm going to do the best I can. But Lord, when you need to step in and pull a flaming sword or nail my hip or throw me overboard, then do it to get my attention, because I don't want to end up in Tarshish outside of the will of God. I'd rather be in a whale's belly heading your way than to be in some place and going the wrong way. So Lord, whatever you need to do, do it. But here's the thing God says, so I'll do that if you will be someone who, would you write in your first bullet, someone who asks for a pure heart, ask for a pure heart, or a heart that is willing to process everything that you're deciding on. Because listen, you're going to have opportunities, sometimes good and sometimes not good, in your life, in your marriage, in your job, in your schooling, in relationships. Please hear me now. You're going to have opportunities and decisions that you have to make. And sometimes you'll be strapped with pain and you'll want to bail out. You'll want to go one way or the other. You'll have to stop and say, Lord, I'm not going to impulsively do this. I'm going to take this. I've asked for a pure heart, which means I'm going to process this, catharos this. To the pure, all things are pure. To the people who are willing to say, stop, I'm not going to just jump. I'm going to process this. And if I need help, I'm going to get help. But I got to process this thing. Will it be painful? Oh, man. I tell you, it's painful. It's like a plow running right through the flesh of my heart. But I've got to process it with the Holy Spirit to make sure that I'm doing what He wants me to do. And you know what? If I'm doing something wrong, He'll step in. But you've got to ask for a pure heart. Would you read with me the scripture? Go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. What I'm about to share with you is probably one of the most painful lessons in my life. But I look back on it now, and it's one of the more important lessons in my life. Some time ago, I was I'm a kind of a risk taker. I'm an innovator. I try different things. I've always been that way. And there was an opportunity which seemed good to make a very large investment that would take everything I had, everything I was, and everything I hoped to be, to be invested in this thing. But what I wanted to do, because I'm kind of entrepreneurial, is going to buy a bunch of stuff and develop it, put it into little developments and sell it, make three times the funds, you know. And I thought, easy, I do that. It's easy for me. It's fun for me. But I knew that God was calling me not to be distracted and stay as a shepherd, but I thought, I can do that on the side, no problem. So I started moving that way because I thought, this is a really good opportunity. And as I was processing it, because you have to process it, although I had already sort of made some halfway commitments and moving forward, down deep inside, something wasn't setting right. It wasn't that it was a sinful thing, wrong thing. It was just something was not right. Now, what I didn't know at that time was, I think, God was saying, Wayne, if you go with this huge investment, it will alter your future. And what I've called you to be, you'll change in order to protect that investment. You're leaning on certain people for certain things, and if they drop the ball, which they don't have to, they're not mandated to help you in this, but if they drop the ball or pull out or die or whatever, you're going to have to pick up and preserve this investment, and it will cause your whole life and future to shift, and you'll be a part of something that's fine, but it's not right. It's not what I called you to be. Well, I didn't know this at the time, so I began processing it, And I began thinking about it, and then it started to distract me so much that I couldn't sleep. And then I thought, uh-oh, I think this is a little bit bigger than I want to chew here, a little bit much for me. And I took out this yellow pad of paper and I started to process it before the Lord. And my heart was right, I just wanted to make sure, but something inside wasn't seating correctly. And so I would write scenario one, if I did this, scenario two, scenario three, and option one, option two, and I started just thinking through everything. Listen, I filled up two of these yellow pads of paper, front and back, of just writing single line of what would I think what would happen if I did this and what I thought about this and what God thought about this, and I kept writing it down. Well, as I was doing it, I was so involved because I had to make a decision within a week or so. It was so debilitating to me that I couldn't sleep. Have you ever been there, you know, wide open, eyes wide open at midnight thinking, you know, saying to yourself, go to sleep. Go to sleep, go to sleep. And my mind would not shut off. I'd find myself pacing the floor at 2 a.m. And it's almost like the Lord showed up with a flaming sword and said, you're not going this way. And although you don't see it, you feel it. I mean, I started having anxiety. I couldn't breathe after a while. It's like all kinds of things were going weird. And I was thinking, this is no normal storm. And after a while, I started developing even a twitch, you know. And so I'm saying, Lord, what do you think about this here? It's not like a normal storm, you know what I mean? So it's just wreaking havoc on me. I could not handle it. I mean, so much anxiety was weighing on me until I knew this is not a normal storm. God has stepped in. And it wasn't until I said, okay, all right, I'm not moving this way. And I had to rescind everything back. But as soon as I did, within one day, 95% of all the symptoms left. Just a few left, you know. I mean, a few were remaining. You know, like I twitched. Lord, I feel fine, but there's one thing. Can you guess what it is that I need you to help me with? But it's like he left that for like 3 months to remind me of something that he was teaching me. Just like with Jacob, he left that hip displaced for the rest of his life to remind him, what have I called you to do? Because see, you've given me your life and committed your life to me, and I'm bent on making your life fruitful. And I look at Jacob. You don't remember Jacob today as someone who had a hip replacement. You remember him as one of the fathers of our faith. David is one of the greatest kings, not someone that stood where the Lord said, you won't do this, and you won't do this wrong with Bathsheba and this, and stood against him. You don't remember Jonah necessarily as someone who disobeyed God, but a prophet, Jonah, and his stories in the Bible. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, you know, God, I asked you for a pure heart, and I asked you that if I see something, I, with a heart of integrity, will process it, but I'm going to move forward with confidence, saying, as far as I know, this is what God is going to ask me to do, and I think it's fine, but I give you the right, Lord, to get in front of me if it's the wrong way. Don't let me go over the edge. Don't let me go over the edge, and I trust you that you'll do that. So you know what it does? When you allow God to have his way in your life, even to intercept you like that because he's committed to your future, it'll give you great confidence because I'm going to do the best I can and I'm moving forward. And I'm not, well, I shouldn't do this and I shouldn't do that, and so I do nothing. No, I process it, I ask God for a pure heart, and I move forward. And there's confidence in my life because I know if it's not the right way, God's going to throw me overboard. And it's all right because even if I'm glub, glub, glubbing, I know I'm going to end up where God wants me to end up. So he gets my attention. So here's what you'll need to do. Would you write in the next one? I'd only ask God for a pure heart. Now, this is going to be tough, but I want you to write it in now. Here it is. Okay, don't flake out on me and write another word. Here it is. Ask God not only for a pure heart, but ask God for consequences. Now, I know you don't want to write it. You want to say, no, honey, write blessings, not consequences. Ask God for blessings. No, write consequences. Consequences. Now, I know it's a very challenging thing, but I tell you, it could save your life. Let's read what the scripture says here. Go. Because of the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are given fully to do evil. If God doesn't bring in consequences, it won't cause you to stop. It'll cause you to go fully into evil. I got a call from a mother. She said, Pastor Wayne, I need your help. I said, what? My son got caught with drugs. He's in jail right now, and the bail is so much money. What do I do? I said, leave him in there. Praise God. She said, well, that's my son. I thought you were a pastor. I said, I am. She said, well, what do I do? I said, just thank God he got caught. She said, what? I said, that's right. Because if he hadn't have gotten caught, you think he would give up what he's doing? No. If he didn't get caught, do you think, well, he'll come home and say, Mom, I didn't get caught. I did all kinds of drugs and ice and everything. I didn't even get caught. I'm so sorry. Oh, no, 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 no. Because a sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are given what? Fully to evil. They'll go all the way headlong into it. One of the best prayers you can pray for your own life is, Lord, I ask for consequences. If I go off your path, nail me right away. I mean, softly, nicely, but nail me. I tell you, it's one of the most powerful prayers and the most courageous prayers you can pray. Because a lot of times we say, God, if I go off the path, bless me. And you know, God's saying, I don't sow among thorns. Sorry. It's crazy. I won't do it. You have to identify the thorns in your life. Ask me for a pure heart. So instead of just bailing off doing this and doing it, process it. And when you process things, listen, then, and you've given me your life, then I will be faithful that if you're going over the edge, I'll let you know. I'll let you know. And if you're okay with that, oh, Lord, I am. See, there's going to be times in your marriage you're going to have some decisions that you'll say, oh, that's it. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do this or do that. And the Lord says, no, you need a pure heart. Ask for a pure heart. Which means you're going to take this and process it before me in light of my word, in the light of the Holy Spirit who knows what's righteous, and think it through. In other words, here's what he's saying. Before you make a decision about anything, if you're not sure about it, here's what you do. You fast forward the tape of what your decisions, consequences, and results will be. Hey, I kind of like that lady over there. It's not my wife, but she's babe, and she kind of likes me. She thinks I'm cute and younger than I really am. I like that. All right? If you get involved with her, just fast forward the tape. What's going to happen? Fast forward to 3 years, 4 years. Think about your kids. Think about your faith. Think about every year. The name of the Lord. You're a family now. Just think about it. And most of the time, 95% of the time, that stuff doesn't work out. It goes bad again the second time, then a third time. Fast forward it, and you realize, oh, man, that's a lot of stuff I'm going to have to deal with. I'm going to have to pick up a lot of doo-doos. So I'm going to, oops, I said that in church. And so you rewind, the tape, and you say, wait a minute. That's a crazy decision. What did you do? You process. And you know what the Lord says? Good. You're starting to understand what it means to have a pure heart. You're going to process everything under the light of my Holy Spirit. And then I make decisions. But make sure that you say, Lord, but if I'm going to do the best I can, it's what I feel is right with you, so I'm going to move forward. But I trust that if I'm going the wrong way still, because I could still have missed it, that you'll come in with a flaming sword and let me know. And man, even if I start twitching, whatever, you got to do it to get my attention so that I don't mutate and alter my future in a way that'll cause some permanent damage. And God says, good, I'll work with you. But prepare for fruitfulness. Yes, I will. Good. We'll partner together. And the God I was to Balaam, the God I was to David, the God I was to Jacob, the God that I was to Samson, the God that I was to Jonah, I will be that same Lord to you. I will be that involved with your life. Whoa. Then we start to live in Bible times. See, a lot of times we think, well, the Bible times long ago. No, Bible times today. The same God, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we have to be willing to do that. Well, after I processed it and finally came to the point where this is what God has asked me to be, I can be involved in that, and it's not right or wrong, but for me and my calling, it's wrong. It's not sin, it's just not right for me. So I rewound the tape and I wrote down what God had asked me to do and who I really was to be. What I really felt God was asking of me. I actually wrote it down 2 or 3 times, edited it, changed it. And then, would you write in your last point, number 3, then make wise but firm decisions for righteousness. make wise but firm decisions, which means I had to order my way. I had to go in and make some changes. There's some of you that may need to make a lifestyle change or change of some friendships or change of some schedule you've been moving in, and you're just feeling there's a storm. Something's funny on the inside. Nothing's sitting right. It's not being seated correctly on the inside. And you're going to feel the turbulence. Boy, I tell you, at that point, stop going that direction and start processing it. Think it through. And even if you have sleepless nights, get some under the light of the Holy Spirit, get someone objective and really process. And the Lord is saying, now you're understanding what a pure heart is, because you're starting to filter stuff and not just go off on stuff. And then when you finally hear me, then write it down, and you'll need to make some wise but firm decisions to get your life correct. In fact, let's read what it says in the next scripture. Go. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Would you underline, he who orders his way aright? When all of that was done, it was probably one of the more painful times of my life. And I know that God stepped in my life and said, Wayne, I love you too much to let you go this way, because I see what you can't see. And if you make this decision, it will actually alter your future. And you will have something that I have not planned for you to have. And I love you too much to let that go. And you've given me your life as a commitment, so I'm going to step in. And you're right, you're processing it. You're preparing your life for fruitfulness. I come in now, and I'm going to step in and intervene and help you. And boy, I look back on it now, one of the most painful lessons, but one of the more powerful lessons of my life. And the same is true with each of us, to keep us from going over the edge. If we will make that same commitment that the prophets of old made, and many of us have made, to give our life completely to His ways, and to say, Lord, I invite You in. If I'm going to do the best I can in my marriage, my family, my job, my relationships, my life. But if I ever start to go over the edge and I don't really understand or know what I'm doing, nail me. If you have to throw me over the side. And the Lord says, good, because I will. But I will bring you to what I want you to be. And in the end, we'll turn around and say, I am so thankful that the Lord is a part of my life. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is alive today. How many of you are glad for that? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God that is our God, that you're intricately involved in our lives, and that you love us too much to let us make decisions that will permanently alter our futures. Oh, sure, we can, like the Israelites, we can ignore the storms. We can fight against those times when we see a flaming sword. We can ignore those, deny those, but we won't. We don't want to be a people, like you said, stubborn forefathers that did not prepare their hearts. We want to be a people preparing our hearts for fruitfulness, and you're involved in that. So, Father, thank you for giving us the confidence that as we process things and really think them through, not just go off impulsively, but get the right counsel and process them. That's the beginning of a pure heart. And then allow you to step in. Even though we're doing the best we can, if we're moving in a direction that may alter and mess our future up, we give you permission to bring in a consequence, to catch our attention and reroute us back. Thank you for preparing our hearts for fruitfulness. We trust you and we move with confidence as we forge ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing this song together that we just learned. And it's called Search Me, O God. And let's try it again. We'll sing it sitting down and then we'll stand up in a second. But try. It goes like this.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way. Lead me in your everlasting.
as we sing, "Search me, O God.
Search me, O God, and know."
Of a message entitled "Preparing for Fruitfulness" by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
And lead me in your everlasting. Lead me in your everlasting. Lead me in.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.